peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter gives instruction to a group of struggling, suffering Christians to give them perspective that the Lord has designed this and has a purpose through these sort of things. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." And we looked at yesterday how important it is to understand that the mark and struggle of the Christian is something designed that they would show forth that they are partakers of Christ's sufferings. The health and wealth movement, the prosperity movement, the whole notion that God has it designed for you to be rich, everything has to go well, everything has to be happy, you need to think positive thoughts, I say emphatically, is all a denial of what the whole person and work of Christ tells us and his work on the cross. It's a denial of the cross. Christ's life, Christ's death, all testifies to the path that his followers are going to walk. It's that of following Christ in his sufferings. Not that we pay for sin, not that we will ever undergo suffering to the extent that Christ did, but that we are followers of him. We are emulators of his life. His life is being reproduced in us. We are being conformed, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, to the image of Christ. Christ was the captain, right, of our sufferings. Christ went ahead to perfect and to go forward before us so that now we would follow him in strength. But the New Testament church, as the gospel was going out, this concept of suffering was a whole new thing. Some weren't quite used to the whole notion. He knew that the Christians of that time were doubting if this Christianity thing was real, some of them. They were considering their sufferings as something strange that just should not be happening. If Christ suffered for them, why should they have to suffer? So Peter, as a model of Christian suffering, had to reassure the church that suffering is a reality in the Christian life. Philippians 1:29 tells us two things Christ has granted us. Listen to this carefully. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe..." So anyone who believes today, that was a gift. It was granted. You didn't believe on your own. Christ granted you that, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Notice belief and suffering are put in the same breath as something granted. 1 Timothy 3:12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If you want to be set apart and live godly, he says, expect it. The Apostle Paul said, "Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God." Peter's emphasis here assumes the reality of suffering. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Look, it's going to happen, he says. It's so easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that when we suffer, God's blessing is not on us. That's what's happened with Job, right? And you know the story of Job and his friends. This thing that had happened to you, Job, this really bad thing, means that something's out of whack in your life. Peter's telling us you can't read God's providence that way. This is not strange. Whatever you're facing, it's a painful trial appointed for you. Now, the real question for us is, what does he mean by fiery or painful trial? Well, it's true that the immediate context is physical persecution Because of the word, we know that fiery trial can imply many different things. It is true that suffering comes in many different ways, shapes, and forms, whether it's a loss of a loved one, unexpectedly, disease, sickness, physical persecution for the name of Jesus. This is a reality in the Christian's life. This is exactly, of course, what Peter's making known to us. It's not abnormal. It's designed. It's a reality. But I suppose our question still remains, why? Yes, we see it as a reality, but why the Christian? Why does it have to be? Couldn't it be any different? He gives us an answer here. I want you to listen to verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 4. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of the sufferings of Christ, he says. What a statement. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, our sufferings, did you hear this? Our sufferings display, as we carry them about in us, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Our sufferings point us to the cross, that we are hid in Christ's work of sufferings, that we share, that we are identified, that we are united with Christ in our sufferings. You know, Scripture does give us great detail about the sufferings of Christ. And what we find is that His entire life was full of suffering. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, think about this, leaving that throne in glory, was brought forth in a manger, taking to Himself our rags, our flesh. He hungered and He thirsted. He was afflicted with great sadness and grief, seeing the result of sin in His world. Faced extreme poverty, our Lord had no place to lay His head. He was blasphemed against. He was slandered. He was hated. He was rejected by His own people. Isaiah 53, He had no beauty that we should behold Him. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isn't that something? He didn't even have beauty. He had the most bitter and anguish of soul to face the wrath of His own Father, suffered the torments of hell, died on a cross in crucifixion, suffering the most painful, reproaching death possible. Why? For us, for the believer, for those who put their trust in Him, for those whom He has sovereignly loved. Now, none of us have suffered like that, nor can we, but we are identified with Christ in our sufferings. So what Peter means when he says that we partake of the sufferings of Christ is that to suffer for Christ is to represent Christ and share in His sufferings. Isn't that an amazing truth? The apostle realized we are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And Peter's point here is that these things make us long for the return of Christ. That when His glory is revealed, when He comes in His power, you will be glad with exceeding joy. Through our sufferings, we long for His return and justice. I think of what Paul said to the Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember this, my friends. It's hard to accept suffering because our society today, of course, has a quick fix mentality. If there's a problem, got to be fixed right away, and patience is an unknown fruit in our world. But sometimes God doesn't want to fix it. In his eyes, your sufferings are for your own good in the end. It's his way of preparing the Christian for the kingdom, and they enable us to remain focused on the blood of Christ. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul realized when he was given a thorn in the flesh. Remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, literally to torment me. The Apostle Paul had been given so much, right? He received direct revelation from Christ. He had been taken up into the third heaven. There were things he saw that were unspeakable with words to describe. He says, lest I should be exalted, lest I should think more highly of myself than I ought to. This thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul, after pleading three times with the Lord, and it was a deep pleading, Lord, come to my side, realized that the grace of God found in the person and work of Christ, through suffering, he was able to look at his Savior who had gone out before him, and he relied on him. The cross was sufficient for whatever suffering the Apostle Paul was given. And that's why he could say, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:5, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds through Christ. It is Jesus who has suffered and gone before us. It is in his life, death, and resurrection that we find power to endure the sufferings of this present evil age to which we are all entangled. So as Christians, we are comforted today. To the non-Christian, you are not. You must look to Jesus as the only source of your strength. Then you will know this joy in suffering.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.